unofficial Bengals podcast.
Welcome to the unofficial Bengals podcast. This is your host, Frank LaPlaca, and I'm a Bengals fan for life. All right, this episode is going to be dedicated to free agency. We're going to go over some headlines. We're going to talk about the signings, the re-signings, and the free agent losses for the Cincinnati Bengals.
What's up, Bengal Nation? This is Adrian the Mad Backer Ross, and you're listening to the unofficial Bengals podcast. Who day?
Cincinnati Bengals fans, I'd like to introduce Frank LaPlaca.
Six new free agents, 10 draft picks coming in April. We're reshaping the roster, and this team is just getting better and better. I can't wait to see what the 2024 season holds. All right, let's start off with some headlines. So the biggest headline, and it broke right after I released my last episode, was T. Higgins requesting a trade. I love T. Higgins. I met him, and he was a really gracious guy. He's obviously a phenomenal player. This was kind of sad news for us as Bengal fans. I thought he was going to stick on that one-year franchise tag, believe in the long term that the team was going to take care of him. But he knows it just as well as we do. The NFL is a business, and it's a thankless business. You know, when you're not good enough anymore, it doesn't matter if you're Joe Burrow or Peyton Manning, you're going to get cut eventually. And, you know, if a team can save money and not give you that long-term security contract, that's what they're going to do. And the Bengals take better care of their players than most organizations. You know, a lot of organizations are having their guys take pay cuts or restructuring salaries. The Bengals don't do a lot of that. They do right by their players. But in reality, it's still a business. They're still protecting their best interests. And unfortunately, T. Higgins is not going to get that big deal that we're thinking. You know, with the money that they spent in free agency already, they've spent over $30 million out of $50. And you still want to extend Jamar Chase, so I don't know how much room there's going to be to give T. Higgins that big contract, unfortunately. And I'm hoping that he sticks around. I hope they work this out. I'm hoping that he plays under the tag because, you know, you're kind of at an impasse. It's like either you play for this or we trade you. And if you don't do either, then you sit out all year and you don't get paid. So the Bengals do have the leverage, and T. Higgins's leverage is to request a trade. And it's just not what I wanted to see. I was hoping it would turn out differently, but I do not blame T. Higgins for this. I hope we can keep him around. Obviously, extending Chase is going to be the main thing for this season. You know, if you have to pick one or the other. And I hate even saying this because I've been raising the flag for T. Higgins for the last 6 months. But, I mean, if you have to keep one of them, it is Jamar Chase. So we'll see what happens with that. I know there's talk about trading for Justin Jefferson, and I don't know the validity of that, you know. Talk can come from anywhere, and I think in this case it was from a conversation at Kroger, and the Bengals actually debunked that and said, you know, now we're going to Kroger for our free agent news and our signing news. So, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. It was fun to entertain that rumor, and if we could possibly find a way to get Justin Jefferson, I mean, that would be one of the only guys I would trade T. Higgins for. But imagine that just for a second, and it's probably never going to happen, but just let's fantasize for a second about Burrow, Chase, and Jefferson. I mean, if they stay healthy and you protect Burrow, that almost seems like an instant Super Bowl. But again, that hasn't happened. It probably is unlikely to happen. What was talked about was that Burrow was going to restructure his deal, and they were going to sign Chase to a three-year extension for $100 million and Justin for 3 years at $100 million. I don't know. It seemed like pretty crazy numbers, but it was still fun to hear. And I know as Bengal fans, we were thinking, oh, if this happens, we are on our way. But regardless, the reality is we have Jamar Chase in stripes. We're going to maintain him for the long run. Let's see what we can do. Hopefully we have Higgins for this year, and hopefully there's a way to fit them all in, because I said that's the key to it. If you have Burrow, Chase, and Higgins, you're going to have a powerhouse passing game and a powerhouse offense, and that's what dictates the NFL these days. Other news, Joe Mixon traded, and think about what I just said about being thankless. You know, he put everything into this organization. He was a fan favorite. He was a leader in the community. He gave his all. He was a leader on the team. And, you know, when you get a little older and a little too expensive, teams look to downsize. It doesn't matter what your name is and what you've done for the organization. And, you know, it's kind of the sad reality of football, but we see it with Joe Mixon. And I'm one of the ones who thinks that Mixon still has a lot left in the tank. The way he's performed the last couple of years, still running powerfully. You know, you can't say that 27, 28 is the kiss of death for running backs. It's on a case-by-case basis, and he seems like he's able to break that mold and someone who's going to have a long career in the NFL. And as I said, you could see him becoming like that third down specialist as his career goes by. Now he's going to be on the Texans, and the Texans are a dangerous team, and now they're going to have a dangerous running back. And Joe Mixon, I want to thank you for all you've done for this organization. I did not want to see you go. I thought they could have kept you, maybe a pay cut, I don't know, whatever the case may be. You're going to have a nice career with the Texans with a young quarterback, and I hope you don't hurt us too badly when we play you. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to root against you, and that's the last thing that I want to do. And then other house cleaning, they waived Nick Scott, and that makes sense. We're going to talk about the free agent signings, but our safety room is packed right now, and not much room for, with all due respect, an underachieving veteran. So it makes sense that Nick Scott was waived with all the free agent signings that we had. And then some early draft news. Over the next month, we're going to really hit this stuff. But the Bengals awarded compensatory picks. The 97th pick, that's an additional third rounder. It's actually the first compensatory pick after, you know, the three rounds go by. It's like the first free pick of any team. And it's a top 100 for the Bengals. So now we have a first, a second, and two thirds. Four top 100 picks. Love to see it. We also got compensated a sixth rounder. And you never know who can turn up in the sixth round, like a Yosivash or a Tom Brady. And then we got an additional seventh round pick in the trade for Mixon. So that's 10 draft picks coming in. That's a nice roster overhaul. That's the way to get young. And I'm a fan of, you know, top 50 picks, first three rounds, first two rounds I consider to be like the real diamonds of the draft. But the way that the Bengals have been picking lately, you're seeing some very effective players in rounds 4 through 7. And a lot of those guys over the last 2-3 years are sticking on the roster. So you're looking at 10 new players coming in, 5 new free agents. That's like 15 new guys that pretty much all of them are going to stick in some capacity. So 10 picks coming up in the draft. Buckle up. It's going to be fun. It makes it more fun to watch because I watch every minute of the draft. And the more picks that we have, the more exciting it is to be a Bengal fan watching that said draft. And it really goes to show how much these teams value draft capital. I mean, Joe Mixon for a seventh rounder? You know, you're going to be lucky to find a second or a third rounder that's going to give you the same kind of production as a Joe Mixon. Think about what Pittsburgh did for Justin Fields, a sixth rounder? You're not finding a quarterback in the sixth round. I mean, we talked about Tom Brady, but for the most part, you're not going to get a Justin Fields-level quarterback anywhere near the sixth round. But the NFL GMs, they love protecting that draft capital. And I don't understand it, truthfully. Like, I would gladly give up a 1, a 2, or a 3 for a great player. Because, again, how many of the first-round draft picks pan out? You know, you're probably looking at about a 60-65% of success rate there. And then it gets lower by each round. If you can get a proven commodity, it's worth trading any draft pick for. But the owners and the GMs don't feel that way. And, again, they know better than me, but if it was me, I wouldn't be afraid to give up a high pick for a quality player. All right, so let's move on to the free agent signings. And if you hear my voice, you can see I'm real excited about everything here. I love talking about the roster. I love talking about bringing in new players and roster structure and roster building and free agent signings. And I can't contain myself. They signed Mike Gesicki. He was invisible last year because he was in New England and he had no one throwing the ball to him. He's a pass-catching tight end that you can pencil in for 50 receptions, 600 to 700 yards, 5-plus touchdowns. He is going to be such a major factor in this offense. Just trust me, wait and see. If you think I'm tripping and you're not believing what I'm saying, just wait until the pads come on and we watch this guy perform. He runs great routes. He's athletic, high-pointing balls. He gets open. He has game-breaking ability. You watch. He is going to be a major difference maker. You know, we're going to be in a 3rd and 7, and Chase is going to be doubled, and it's going to look bleak, and all of a sudden, you know, you're seeing Gesicki down the seam for 15 yards or across the middle for 12 yards. It's going to be a recurring theme. I hope he wears number 88. That is my favorite number, and the Bengals have not had a great number 88 in their history, in my opinion. be as excited as I am because I'm telling you, I said this 2 years ago. I was like, if we sign Gesicki, we're going to the Super Bowl. And that was the year before last. That never happened. And you know what? We didn't go to the Super Bowl. But guess what? We just signed Gesicki. So I think we're going to go to the Super Bowl. Yeah, I know, your host is getting a little bit crazy, but that was like my number one wish list on offense. I wanted a game-breaking tight end. We saw what Hayden Hurst did in this lineup, and Gesicki's better. And to get him for 1 year, $2.5 million, less than you're paying Akeem Davis-Gaither, who we all love, but who's going to contribute more? You know, this game-breaking tight end who's going to turn third downs into first downs repeatedly. All right, the other big offensive signing was Zach Moss at running back. So we got younger than Mixon, and we got cheaper than Mixon. $4 million a year, a two-year deal for Moss. And there were stretches last year where it looked like the Colts didn't need Jonathan Taylor back. You know, when Taylor was out for the beginning of the year, there was a good 3-4-game stretch where I was like, man, this guy is just as good. From what I read on him, he's very conscientious. His head is in the playbook all the time. You know, pass protection is just as important as rushing yards for him, and that's good to see. I'm excited about it. You know, you have a guy that, you if you watch some of the highlights on him, he looks like a terror out there, and like I said, I saw him last year in flashes, and I was like, this guy's pretty good. Total surprise signing. You know, I was predicting they would just keep Mixon, maybe offer him a pay cut and roll with who they had and maybe draft somebody, and now you got a nice young player on the rise still coming into the building. All right, so I'm in the editing process, about to get the episode out, and then the Bengals signed Trent Brown, so I need to discuss that while we're talking about the offense. What a major pickup to get a veteran right tackle, massive. The Bengals are going to have the two largest tackles probably in the NFL with Brown on the left and Brown on the right. It's nice to see they have a veteran in there to protect Joe Burrow. They're not taking any chances with Burrow's health. And, you know, you can get a rookie, and I still assume that we're going to pick a rookie somewhere in the first round or two, but you don't have to have that rookie learning curve, and you don't want to have another season sacrificed while you're developing a right tackle who has to block TJ Watt, you know, and the rest of the great pass rushers of the AFC. So now you have a 10-year veteran coming in to protect Joe Burrow from the right side. Now the offensive line is a strength. Orlando Brown, Volson, Karras, Kappa, and now Trent Brown on the other side. That's a pretty good named offensive line that I think is going to function very well. And now you have the luxury of drafting a tackle, hopefully in the first round. Maybe you take a wide receiver or a tackle in the first round. And now that guy doesn't have to be forced into the lineup right away. And even if you guys think that Trent Brown might be on the decline in his career, it's still a massive upgrade over Jonah Williams. So look out, the organization is doing the right things. They realize they have one of the best quarterbacks in the universe, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure that he stays healthy. Because when you think about it, the 2 years that Burrow was healthy, we went to the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship. The 2 years that he wasn't, we didn't make the playoffs. All right, on to the defensive free agent signings, and there's three of them. And each one is better than the last. When Von Bell got waived by Carolina, I was like, you know what? Why not pick him up? He's not going to be that expensive. He still has game left. He's a leader. He's done so much for this team. And there they go. They bring him back 1 year, $6 million. He can mentor those young safeties. Jordan Battle will become a better player studying under Von Bell. So now when you look at that safety room, you're probably looking at Geno Stone, who we're going to talk about in a second, as your starting free safety. Von Bell as your starting strong safety. And now you have the option of throwing Battle out there as an additional safety on running downs. You have Dax Hill now that you can make like this monster man where you put him anywhere. You know, you put him in the slot, you put him in coverage, you put him at free safety, you put him blitzing at the line. It's exactly what I was talking about in the last episode, only with a different free safety. You know, I was hoping they would get Xavier McKinney. We didn't get him, but Geno Stone is a lot cheaper than that. And let's talk about Geno Stone leading the league in interceptions last year and coming in at $7 million a year. So that safety room is looking good. You have depth. If anyone goes down, you're where you were last year. They gave up some big plays with Hill and Battle, but they also shined at times. And as I said, the flexibility to use Battle and to use Dax Hill, you know, situationally and in different spots than traditional safety spots, is going to be huge for this organization. And then the other big defensive signing, and I really didn't think we would get a guy like this, Sheldon Rankins, a really productive defensive tackle. And I said it last episode, he's not a replacement for DJ Reader. He's more in the BJ Hill mode. You know, he'll help against the run. He's not bad against the run, but he's more of a pass rushing third down defensive tackle. So that bodes well for us on passing downs. BJ Hill rushes the passer well. Rankins rushes the passer exceptionally well. And then you have Hendrickson and, you know, your other pass rushers in the mix. So I like what I'm seeing there on third down, second and long, those kind of situations. Now we still have to focus on what we want to do on first down and having that traditional nose tackle. With Reader now in Detroit, maybe you're looking at re-signing Josh Tupou for that role and hopefully drafting someone to go into that role, because there's not a lot of veteran free agents that seem like they're going to fill that DJ Reader role. But we're really looking for a guy to play first down, maybe some second downs, and that's going to be at that nose tackle position. But regardless of that, Sheldon Rankins, what a pickup. So on defense, you've added a pass-rushing defensive tackle. You've added a stud veteran safety who's made key interceptions in AFC Championship games, and you add the guy who led the league in interceptions last year. That's a pretty good run for us. And every free agent signing has been a success. The Bengals did a great job in free agency this year, and we're going to talk about an even greater job that they did in re-signing some of their key players. All right, so let's talk about the re-signing. So there's been five guys that have been re-signed, Travion Williams being the first. 1 year, $1.5 million. I like it. I didn't think they were going to bring him back. I thought they were going to get his replacement in the draft and go a little bit younger, a little bit cheaper. But you don't get much cheaper than $1.5 million. And Travion's a veteran. He knows the system. He plays special teams. He can catch out of the backfield. He can fill in a pinch. I have no complaints with Travion Williams. I think it's excellent to bring him back at that low price. And he sees that the organization has invested in him. And now he's going to get his NFL pension. You know, once you cross that four-year mark, you get your NFL pension. So they've taken care of him. He's going to play hard for us. He's versatile. And if I were to say, hey, you know, Travion's got to carry a dozen times this game, I don't think a lot of you would be complaining about that. I certainly wouldn't be. And then we bring back another bodyguard for Joe Burrow. Drew Sample, who I said it, we were disappointed in him as a second-round pick. Not a game-breaking pass catcher, not a great inline blocker, but we found that role. Put him in the backfield, let him protect Burrow out of the shotgun, and watch this guy excel. So having Drew Sample in there and re-signed for 3 years, $10.5 million, so, you know, $3-plus million a year, a decent amount of money for the role that they're giving him, but you have a guy that I guarantee is going to lead to less sacks and less hits on Joe Burrow. And we found that out last year. He played more when Browning was in there, but he was a very good personal protector. That's what I'm going to call him. An H-back, I mean, technically a fullback at times, but in all reality, a personal protector for Joe Burrow. Great signing. And Tanner Hudson, I'm so glad the league has slept on him and we were able to get him back at a fairly inexpensive price. You put Tanner Hudson and Mike Gesicki in there, you have a dual tight end attack. I hope T. Higgins comes back. You think about it, Chase, Higgins, Moss, the extra wide receivers that we have, and now this dual threat at tight end, that's a serious offense. And then the re-signing of Trenton Irwin, a must-keep in my book. I'm glad he's back in the building. He's another guy that does it all. You put him on special teams, you start him if one of your receivers is down, you put him in the slot, you play him on third down, you put him in four receiver sets, five receiver sets, and all he does when he's in there is produce. And again, another player, just like Travion, just like Tanner Hudson, who's got a lot of ability and not a lot of miles on them, and knows the system. Trenton Irwin, phenomenal signing. We did all the right things with these re-signings on offense. And then on defense, they brought back Akeem Davis-Gaither, and Darren Simmons loves him. He considers him his utility knife as a special teams guy. 1 year, $3 million, I thought was a little expensive, but if the building doesn't think that, and Darren Simmons demands him back, then so be it. Welcome back, Akeem Davis-Gaither. Glad that you're going to be in stripes again. All right, so let's quickly go over our free agent losses. Chido Awuzie, that's a tough one. I really liked him as a player. I'll never forget that interception in the early second half of the Super Bowl where I was parading around my living room saying, "Oh man, we just won the Super Bowl." So thank you for the memories. I kind of knew they weren't going to bring him back with the youth that they have there and all the money that they have to expend on offense for your Burrows and Chases and whatnot. So Awuzie joins Coach Callahan in Tennessee, and I wish him luck for the rest of his career. It's just it didn't work out salary-wise. It wasn't ability-wise. It was a case of you only have X amount of dollars to spread around, and if you have players that are young like Britt and Turner that are excelling, then someone like Awuzie unfortunately becomes expendable. DJ Reader, massive loss going to Detroit. That was one of the guys who I said we have to bring back. Unfortunately, we didn't. And we're going to be scrambling for a one technique because, you know, now that you have Derrick Henry on the Ravens and Chubb and the Steelers' dual threat running attack, you need a really solid nose tackle type or, you know, one technique, whatever you want to call it. And he was the guy for that role. And we're not going to be able to replace him with someone of equal ability. We just need to have either by committee or someone that's functional in there. You know, that's going to be a little bit of a problem. I hate to say it. It's going to be a little bit of a weakness not having someone of his ability in there against this great running back division. Jonah Williams off to Arizona for $15 million a year. Did you guys watch film? Irv Smith over to Kansas City. I don't know. They're probably just trying to get some intel on the Bengals. If he plays like he did for us this year for them, that'll help us beat them in the AFC Championship game. Rumors that six teams are interested in Tyler Boyd, the Chiefs and Pittsburgh being amongst them. Those are both nightmare scenarios. We're just going to hold our breath and wait to see how that unfolds. And you never know. I mean, if T. Higgins doesn't come back, maybe the Bengals bring back Boyd. And then the heartbreaking one to leave, Stanley Morgan goes to the Saints. And I understand it. If you're on the practice squad for the Bengals and they have this young wide receiver room that they're really just focused on pass catchers for Joe Burrow, New Orleans, you just got your Matthew Slater, and unfortunately, we lost him. So that's it. We had two new weapons on offense, another blocker for Joe Burrow. The safety room is now complete. We bring in a pass rushing defensive tackle. We have 10 draft picks to look forward to. And now the draft is wide open. Best player available, right tackle of the future, wide receiver to possibly replace Higgins, maybe a one technique defensive tackle. Call me the homer. I'm giving the Bengals an A on this. They brought back all the players they needed to bring back. It's unfortunate that we lost Reader, Mixon, Awuzie, and Stanley Morgan. But regardless of that, aside from nose tackle, I think the team got better at every position group. Stay cool, stay loyal. I'll catch you guys next week. That'll do it for this episode. I'd like to thank @BengalsHighlights on Instagram, the best page out there. Really cool highlights, really cool music. Definitely something you should check out. Thank you for listening to the unofficial Bengals podcast. This is your host, Frank LaPlaca, and I'm a Bengals fan for life.
The unofficial Bengals podcast.